I'd like to follow
or emphasize a little more on those that we run with. I remember at Eastern Bible a couple of years ago, probably been 8 or 9, we took up Abraham and Lot. And we were reminded then that there came the time in the life of Abraham where he had to make a very difficult decision when it came to Lot. He had to realize that though Lot was a believer, Lot's interests were not the same. Lot was a believer, but a believer that was attached to a world that was going on to judgment. Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the time came when Abraham, before the Lord, had to say, I must separate from my brother. I must allow him to go his way. Because even though he belongs to the same God that I belong to, his ways are going to lead him in a wrong direction. And I wonder how many of us here today would have to ask ourselves, well, what about the company that I keep? What about those that I run with? Now, don't think that just because you're young, you're the only one that has to say that. Because Emil and Tony and myself and John, David, us as families, we got the same problem. We have the same problem as adults as to who we are able to fellowship with. We come from a little meeting. There's just a handful of us. But we can't go out and find our fellowship in this world or with those perhaps even that might be in the meeting who do not have a heart for Christ. I will never make it to where Philip is. I will never make it to where Stephen is. I will never make it to where Paul is. I will never make it to where the sisters that we would look at this evening in the latter part of the reading. If I'm walking hand in hand with those whose interests are not the interests of the Lord. So I just say that, just highlight that. Be careful, young people. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I can't run with the world and serve the Lord. I can't run with those who are wanting to be part of this world, even though they may be saved, and still serve Him. So it's a word in season for us.
Just to look at the condition of the church and the whole the setting that Philip and others were finding themselves in. Chapter 8 talks about how Paul, who used to be Saul, was making havoc of the whole church. And right before we read, right before chapter 6 where we started reading, it talked about the disciples who were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. They just barely escaped death if it wasn't for the Pharisee who persuaded them that, you know, if what was driving them was just a work of man, then it would come to nothing. But the great thing to see is that the same thing we learned yesterday about the kingdom of God is the exact same message Philip was bringing to Samaria after he was scattered due to the work of Saul. In verse 12, he says, Philip preached the glad tidings concerning the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so it was the same glad tidings he was telling those who were listening to the gospel, and he was preaching the name of Jesus Christ. He was telling them that the Lord is willing to give you the knowledge of the glory of God, that pound. And he's also willing to give you a talent. This was a glad news. In verse 8, it says there was great joy in that city. Mm-hmm. And amongst all this, you know, it would be really hard for me to imagine rejoicing when the whole church is under great persecution and Saul's wreaking havoc everywhere. But you see that all turned around in the end anyway.
That's right. And you could see it in Philip also, in his household. If you go to chapter 21, you find that he has 4 daughters. You see, there was some influence going on here. And there was a Christian household. Philip, who was in his young age, so occupied with the things of the Lord, whatever that is, the meeting was his business. The meeting was his business. Whatever it takes to advance the interest of the Lord, he would do it. The Lord said, good, I'm going to give you a city. So he goes, he sent him to Samaria. And there again, he is faithful, preaching the kingdom of God, the name of the Lord Jesus. Souls are saved. And then the Lord said, I'm going to give you a country. And he get him to in contact with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he has the whole country of Ethiopia. But above all, his household. The influence that he had on his children, the younger generation, they looked at Philip and they said, you know, our dad is so taken up with the things of the Lord. I'm sure Philip's wife, scripture doesn't say anything about it, but I'm sure Philip had a godly wife also. And it is important because it's just not you. The future generation, if the Lord leaves us here, it's going to depend so much on who you marry. You got to have somebody. We have heard about running with the world. You need to have a good, godly, Christian husband or wife. Otherwise, you're not going to have four daughters like Philip had. His four daughters, the scripture mentioned that they were prophetess. They knew the scripture and they were able to help others. So the Christian experience, the Christian life is a wonderful thing. We start with little, but if we are faithful on little, the Lord will give us more.
I was just thinking it started again with the criteria, right? Full of the Holy Spirit, well reported of, full of the Holy Spirit of wisdom. That's the criteria. How my talent is going to be operative is on the basis of whether or not I'm energized by the Spirit. If I'm not energized by the Spirit, I don't care how many meals I take on wheels. It wouldn't have any effect. I don't care how much snow I shovel. If it's not energized by the Holy Spirit, that talent isn't going to enlarge. As a result of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, look where we see Philip goes. How expansive, how large his talent got.
And I agree with what carrying it on to his wife, with the family, because so often so many of our comments are directed towards the young brothers. But I'm going to say to the young brothers here, there is nothing more important than the young sisters. And I think of the home. I think of the influence upon the children. While many of us were away working long hours, it is a godly mother. It is the woman of worth of Proverbs 31 that makes the difference in that home. What a wonderful thing to be able to have a wife that is of the character expressed in that book. That the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, and that the day will come when her children will rise up and call her blessed. How does all that come about? It comes from what we're looking at today. Men and women, young people, under the influence of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, who at the Lord's bidding and at the Lord's direction go into those areas where He leads. It'll be different for each of us. And then He is able to use us to further His kingdom. It's been a wonderful time together. And it's really good to ask ourselves again at the end of this reading, well, where exactly am I? You see, the Lord would help us before Him with our hearts really laid open, realizing all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. This is the one who knows the difference between a thought and an intent. Do you know that? What's the difference between a thought that comes to your mind and that thought going over to where there is an intention to do something? He's the one that knows that. And He's the one that would help us. He wants the best for us, doesn't He?